the saints remained aloof from humanity. They were compassionate and mindful of the peripheral sufferings of mankind, the poverty, disease, and violence, but always dodged the central issue of physical love, the cause of most of the unhappiness on earth, including that of the saints themselves. Even Jesus Christ, if we are to believe his interpreters, avoided the issue completely and never left one word of real guidance for humanity, whose constant preoccupation now as then is trying to make physical love. The Messiah, by his glaring omission of sexuality from his teaching, has a lot to answer for, doesn't he, if you believe his interpreters? The saints kept their hands clean, out of the real muck of love where ordinary men and women have to live. God is enough, they said. Is that true if you're not a saint? Is that true for you? Or do you long to make love and perhaps sense something divine, pure and godly in it, which you know must be there and must be found? The saints abandoned us. They abandoned the blessed planet Earth. They opted out of the reality of love on Earth and made their love in some other place where there is no need of love. Love is needed here on Earth, and it starts between you and me, man and woman. Love is not needed by God, who in that other place is the source of love. If you want to escape to God in your love and leave man and woman behind, then God help you. You will have to return to make amends, to see the error of your love, as all the saints must do in time. Man and woman need this love, this God of love, in the thick of it here on earth, and not somewhere else where it already is and they are not. And only you and I together can make that love, that God here. It is this lack of love or lack of God between us that has brought the world today to the brink of annihilation by its own hand. Furthermore, these saintly otherworldly men and women loaded onto humanity their own awful guilt that making physical love was sinful, a sin to burn in hell for. How many billions of innocent boys and girls, and men and women, have suffered the hell on earth of sexual guilt, and still do, because of the lack of courage to love of the saints? God make me celibate, but not today, prayed St. Augustine. Why didn't he ask God to show him why he loved woman so much that he couldn't stay away from her, instead of praying for an intellectual ideal that just wasn't true? Where did he get the idea from, anyway, that he should be celibate? From some other self-tortured saint or priest, no doubt. So the saints, mystics, and ascetics of all the nations abandoned the poor, struggling mass of human beings who were fighting against time, and still are fighting, to make love or peace with each other. Did a saint ever tell you how to make love, which is the origin of all love on earth, even the love of God? For aren't all of us, even the saints, born of such lovemaking? Is it intelligent to ignore the sweetest natural physical feeling that two human beings can produce together on earth as signifying a possible reality? Isn't that the obvious place to start looking for a divine love that we can all share in, saints and all? The saints tell us to love God, which no one on earth can possibly do by an act of his or her own will. How can you love if you don't love? What sort of an exhortation is that? What would you say if I said, "Feel hungry," when you weren't hungry? Or perhaps you've been told to love everyone. How can you love everyone? Do you love everyone, really? Can you possibly do it? Is everyone so lovable? Do you really love your enemies? Did you tell your child today, not last Christmas, to love the person who beats them or punches them? Today, when someone crosses you, you see if you love them. Let's be straight. Let's be honest with ourselves. We would all love to love everyone, but could we please just start with our mate? Perhaps you will say that this is the task, to love everyone in spite of one's natural unloving tendencies. There is no task, no duty, no hardship in love. To try to love as a task is following the self-shaming, guilt-ridden, otherworldly way. That is not how to start to love. You start to love by making love, which is what you and everyone else on earth want to do most anyway. But you must learn how to make love rightly, without self-indulgence, without seeking emotional satisfaction and self-gratification. After you have learned to make true physical love and have started to restore your golden halo, you will then discover that you have found how to love your fellow man, how to love your enemies, how to love God and yourself. In very few women is the top half of the body above the waist integrated with the half below the waist. The top half, the torso where the breasts and solar plexus are located, vibrates with a very fine energy of love. This is the finest love in the body. It gives milk to the child and holds what is love to the bosom without taint of sexuality. This love is often felt as longing for the unattainable, the yearning for purity and idealistic beauty. It is the impulse behind the whole idea of platonic love. This upper half of the body is the upper pole of love. The lower pole of love below the waist is focused in the genitals. But the energy of this love is continuously present, though normally undiscerned, in the lower back, base of the spine, thighs and legs. If you are very still, you will eventually isolate the distinct feeling of this energy. When perceived like this without emotion or sexual associations, this lower love energy is felt to be just as pure as the higher love, only more grainy or tangible as a sensation. But that does not detract from its essential beauty and purity. For this energy, rising through the legs out of the earth itself, is pure vitality or life force before emotion as sexuality or sentiment has entered it. Man's function, as the masculine principle, is to unify these two polarities of love in woman so that her whole system flows freely and fulfillingly with divine love. For this union of the upper and lower division of the human body, that is, the ideal and the earthly, the unattainable and the attainable, produces the single current of divine love, or the radiant golden energy. When this is fully achieved, woman is reunited with her original true self, physically, psychologically, and spiritually. Her discontent vanishes, and she is no longer dependent on her work, art, motherhood, or any other external activity to give her a sense of fulfillment or purpose. She may still engage in those pursuits, but no longer will be attached to them as a need. All possible fulfillment will be in this one yoga or union of true selfhood or godhood. How rare it is for woman to be in this state, this natural, original state, you can see from the world around you. Woman's whole sexual motivation is to make the divine connection through man. Her desire to produce children is secondary and a substitute for the other. Because the divine connection is so rarely made, no woman today is really herself. She stays mostly in the romantic top half of her body, yearning for the unattainable, and periodically or promiscuously engaging the lower half in sex in a futile endeavor to make the connection. But it evades her. So she remains virtually two people, divided in herself, until finally, cutting off from sex in disillusionment or old age, she lives a sort of half-life of idealized love within her upper half. Frigidity in woman is caused by lack of union of the love in her own body. It also helps to cause impotence in man, or his inability to get an erection. How these problems can be overcome will become clearer as we proceed. For man and woman of today to make love beautifully and divinely requires each to induce a fundamental change into the penis or vagina. Both penis and vagina, or more specifically, that part of the brain controlling them, have to be consciously liberated from the emotion or unconsciousness of the past, that is, from all the habits, misconceptions and ignorance about making love gained through past experience. Experience is the past. We can learn anything from experience except how to make love. Love doesn't come from practice or experience. Love is. The body doesn't have to learn how to make love. It makes love naturally. What we learn from the experience of lovemaking is not how to make love, but how to look after ourselves, how to safely and astutely project and protect ourselves at the same time. This, of course, is compromise. You just can't protect yourself, can't hold back in any way and make love. But that's how everyone makes love today. Experience, the past, has taught us to be cautious, not to give all of ourselves, or we might lose something, might get hurt. So we all play safe. Fear is abundant. And in any case, we wouldn't know how to give all in lovemaking anymore. We've forgotten that too. How frequently do people in love feel as if they want to tear themselves open? They can't. You must have had that feeling at some time. Would you be able to give your lover everything now, this moment, if you had the chance? The answer is no. You have the chance each time you make love, and you haven't managed it yet, have you? Lovemaking today is a compromise. the acceptance of the best that can be hoped for or done in the circumstances. And it produces at best for the lovers the best feeling that can be hoped for from compromise, satisfaction. A poor substitute indeed for the glorious, continuous feeling of physical love made and given without self-considering, without compromise, without holding back, without protecting while expressing oneself. This drugging feeling of satisfaction, which puts everyone to sleep after lovemaking, is personified in the world by the male-made god of love, orgasm. Man is orgasm mad. And woman, the goddess of love herself, infected and inflamed by the male madness, has started to worship the phony god. As if coming were a sign of love. Any animal can be made to come without a sign of love. But you can't make love without love. So let us not fool ourselves or be fooled any longer. If you want an orgasm, go and masturbate. If you want love, keep listening. Coming by man, before he has made sufficient love to collect the woman's divine energies, is loveless gluttony. Coming in woman is easy and natural, sweet and becoming, if only the man and her self-protective experience would give her the chance to be natural and come naturally. But man, through his selfishness down through the ages, and woman's dupability, has taught her, tricked her into chasing the orgasm to divert attention from the lovemaking he cannot give her. If you're chasing an orgasm, you can't be aware of the feeling of love. If you're a man trying to hold off an orgasm, you can't be aware of love either. If you're a woman and believe that orgasm is important in lovemaking, and you can't seem to have one, you feel deprived, to blame or guilty, and you can't know the feeling of love. Or, as a woman, you might give up trying to find love or orgasm by turning your back on lovemaking, as so many women have, and again you'll miss the wonder and glory of love and yourself. Woman, when she has learned to no longer try to make love, when she is no longer lured or fooled by orgasm and refuses to mate with an emotional penis, when she is pure enough to be present as herself in the lovemaking act without one thought in her head, will have an orgasm naturally and effortlessly. She then doesn't have to try. It will happen beautifully, deliciously through the power of love, the power of the loving penis deep inside her. Today she can actually have an orgasm and hardly feel it. The ability to feel, the consciousness of love, is going out of her vagina. It is so ridden with past, tension, and emotions that she can't get her awareness fully down there anymore, especially into the top half, up near the cervix. She has been virtually desensitized there, and it's getting worse with every generation. Effectively, woman has more pleasurable sensation in the lower half of the vagina than at the top. Because man can no longer get to the deepest part of the vagina in love, next to her spiritual garden where the true goddess of love resides, and stay there long enough and authoritatively enough to do what he is supposed to, he has virtually brought her feeling and orgasm down towards the front of the vagina. He has concentrated her awareness around the clitoris, which is near the opening. He has done this in two ways. by persistently ejaculating prematurely immediately after entry, and by persistently stimulating the clitoris with his fingers to compensate for the orgasm she does not have. He has gradually made clitoral satisfaction, clitoral compromise, the prize of lovemaking. She knows it is not love, but what else can she do? What else is there? Further, because of man's failure to love her properly, she sometimes masturbates on the clitoris as man has taught her. She wouldn't do this if she were loved. She doesn't have the same compulsion to masturbate as he does to relieve his sexual aggression. She got the habit from him. Only the penis, not the fingers or any other device, can love woman. Only the living penis on a man's body is designed to serve her. Only the penis, a selfless, passionate, patient, loving penis, can put the orgasm back where it should be, where it naturally happens or doesn't happen without any disturbing emotions, because the woman knows by the feeling, the consciousness in her vagina, that she is being loved. Orgasm is an end, an emotional end. Lovemaking has no end. True lovers go on and on, making love until finally, perhaps hours later, the man's body ejaculates naturally and consciously, or the couple pull apart and make love hours later or the next day, and the next, without the man necessarily having to come. Orgasm is a part of lovemaking, but it is well and truly beneath the beauty and purpose of it, and it will happen rightly for both and without producing emotional traumas afterwards if the two are present enough to concern themselves only with making love. Most women's experience of lovemaking contains disappointment. Most men's experience consists of excitement at the prospect of ejaculation. Between her underlying fears, reservations, and hopes, based on past experience, and his underlying dancing excitement, also based on the past, there is very little chance of real love being made between them in the now or the present. More emotion than love will be produced. By trying to repeat a good sexual experience, like coming, we make ourselves expectant or emotional. And by trying to avoid the repetition of a bad experience, we make ourselves emotionally wary and cautious. In neither case can we make love. And the astonishing truth, which we don't realize, is that the emotion produced in what was supposed to be lovemaking will surface in us within a few minutes, hours or days, and cause a bout of depression or discontent, particularly in woman. In a man, the emotion will surface as irritability, anger, or aggressive behavior, and he probably will release it further by masturbating. The fundamental change in the penis and vagina, necessary today to make love beautifully and divinely, has to be brought about by the man or woman learning to become conscious, that is, to remain psychologically and then spiritually present during the lovemaking act and the preliminaries. Today, due to the massive accumulation of past or unconsciousness in their bodies, man and woman make love for the most part in a subconscious dream state. What happens is that their rising feelings of sexual love excite the emotions. These emotions, the person's accumulated past experience of sexual desire or longing, draw their attention or awareness back into the past as a fantasizing mood or images. Then, being immersed in that past, they cut out as conscious beings from the love their bodies are making in the present. Psychologically, they are absent from the event, no longer present, not really with their partner. They have drifted off into a world of their own. You must have observed this in your lovemaking, possibly in yourself, but particularly in your mate. In those moments when you have been consciously present as you make love, and everyone is from time to time, you will have noticed that your lover has swooned off into a sort of personal euphoria. They are not with you making love, here, now. They are clearly absent from the present where you are. They have become self-contained. It's not unlike talking to someone and suddenly perceiving they are not listening, not with you anymore. They're miles away thinking about something else. In short, your lover has left you, out in the cold, as it were. So you, rather than remain alone out there making love, endeavor as quickly as possible to get back into your own personal dream state, to lose yourself, too, in your emotional past. You do this, you will notice, through the imagination, by using sexual or erotic imagery which again excites the emotions, and off you sail into dreamland. Instead of the two of you being together in conscious physical union, which is the purpose of lovemaking, you are now dream worlds apart. The lovemaking is self-orientated, self-indulgent, and self-gratifying. Both of you, in effect, have borrowed the other's vagina or penis to make love to your own emotions, your own past. In such an insulated but normal encounter, there is no conscious, timeless union of the male and female principle, no realization of consciousness or love itself, no union of the only two poles of godhood on the earth into the one ineffable divine presence, realized as your own reality, the sublime, selfless spirit of love and life. Because more emotion or self made than love, and since emotion or self invariably isolates, such lovemaking gradually pushes the partners apart. They get sexually tired of each other, and the magic vanishes. Lovemaking becomes habitual, a duty, or an emotional release, not unlike an outburst of anger, and misunderstanding, discontent, and restlessness grow. The interaction of the penis and vagina generates love. This love is the most intensely enjoyable sensation in the human body. Nevertheless, the intensity of the pleasure in love is severely reduced by the existence of emotion or past in the genitals. The more emotion or past there, the more numb and more distant is the person's feeling or love settlement. Repeat and ginity or less parts of the felt making already deadened and distorted. It does not occur to anyone to learn that we will drifting and perceive joy of the past, and so be conscious of the present making. It is towards this extraordinary, original human state of being and understanding that I am endeavoring to lead you, and hopefully your partner. So I will say a few more words about the feeling and perception of it. A penis and vagina becoming free of emotion or past start to make ecstatic love together. The sensation and perception is so heightened that at first one can feel the possibility of losing consciousness because the pleasure seems almost unendurable. As the process continues, one becomes aware of being completely present as the consciousness of the divine love being made. There is no limit to the wideness of being and joy, and the immediacy of the spirit that is known to be the union both of each other and of oneself in the divine presence. And because it is love alone, and not emotion or imagination that is being made, and as love, unlike emotion or orgasm, has no end, the same rapturous physical and spiritual delight is present in all subsequent lovemaking together. In other words, the lovemaking does not vary. It has only ups and no downs, no moods, no confusions, no personal or joint emotional disasters. It gets only better and better, finer and finer, more divine and more real, more conscious, more present, more astonishing and wondrous in its sublime perception of love, Godhood, and eternal purpose. But as you will appreciate, this does not happen easily. A good deal of emotional and intellectual dying has got to be done. It takes a lot of hard work on yourself and together. But the point is, it can be done.